Welcome to Inside the Studio, presented by iHeartRadio. I'm your host, Joe Levy. Okay, so the whole idea of this home edition of the show is to let you into the lives and homes of artists so you can see how they've been impacted by the pandemic and how it's affecting the way they make music. And this week's guest, Saweetie, is a real inspiration. And she's all about positivity and hustle, and she says lockdown has turned her into a creative genius. I mean, for one thing, she doesn't have to get on a plane every day to go out and promote her music. She has time to actually make her music. And if things are a little quiet, well, she compares the solitude to being a little kid and having to entertain herself. She and our quarantine correspondent, Jordan Runtog, also talked about how they've both been finding comfort by going back to the music they used to listen to in high school. Except for Saweetie, some of the rappers she grew up listening to are now her peers. So, Jordan, you've got a little catching up to do. Anyway, if you enjoy this episode, be sure to listen to the iHeartRadio podcast that Jordan hosts, which is called Rivals, Music's Greatest Feuds, and which is available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, everybody. My name is Jordan Runtog, but enough about me. My guest today is one of hip-hop's brightest new stars. She cut her start freestyling on Instagram before her track Icy Girl blew up on SoundCloud back in 2017. Since then, she's redefined hustle. By my count, she's appeared on 18 singles, filmed 17 music videos, and released 2 EPs. She's also started a record label, a jewelry line, a beauty line, and launched an acting career. Honestly, I'm tired just thinking of all that. In June, she dropped Tap In, which pays tribute to her Bay Area roots by sampling Too Short's 2006 anthem, Blow the Whistle. The track's the lead single from her debut LP, Pretty Bitch Music, which is due out later this year. I'm so happy to welcome Saweetie. Thank you so much for taking the time today.
Hey, sorry if I keep going in and out, my Postmates keeps calling me. Hey, you know, just millennials multitasking, doing too much at once. Typical day in 2020. I'm well. How are you? Thank you for having me on your show today.
Thank you so much. Actually, this is a great way to lead into my first question. You do so much. You are a rapper. You run your own label. You're a CEO. You're also an actress. I guess my first question to you is, how do you do it all? When do you do it all? This quarantine does not sound like it has much downtime for you.
I've actually been a lot busier in quarantine only because I'm not traveling. So the time that I usually would spend packing my bags, traveling to the airport, traveling to another city, I'm now at home just shooting everything in my space.
So you've got a future as like a time management, like self-help author or something too. It's really amazing.
You know what? You need to have time management. You need to be organized. I need to have a planner because otherwise everything just seems like a long laundry list and it can get hectic.
One thing at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So you have your first LP, Pretty Bitch Music, due out very soon.
Yes.
How is it a departure from your previous EPs?
It's a big departure. I have a new team, new people helping me with my vision. I'm actually working with family, so it's helping a lot. My uncle is my manager. My auntie is a part of my management as well. Just brought my cousins on to help with merch, so it's definitely a family affair.
Oh, that's awesome. I mean, given all the success you've had with Icy Girl, My Type, and most recently Tap In, did you feel any pressure when you were putting this album together in a way to sort of, you know, to lead on from everything that you've had so far?
I work really well under pressure. For one, I was a big procrastinator in college, so some of my best papers were written in 5 hours, 10, 15 page papers. So that, I was an athlete all my life, so I work really well under pressure, and some of my best work comes from pressure. So whenever someone's like, how is she going to top Icy Girl, My Type, and now Tap In, like, that only motivates me to just keep competing against myself and to keep winning.
You sampled Too Short's Blow the Whistle and Tap In. How did that idea come about?
I love sampling songs. I feel like it's my specialty, and I wanted to do something that paid homage to an OG from my area. So that's why I did Blow the Whistle, and it's one of my favorite songs.
What are you looking for when you're looking for a song to sample? I know that you did, obviously, My Neck, My Back. Is there something that really, like, speaks to you?
Well, My Neck, My Back, that was an accident. I had did the car wrap and recorded a video, And it went viral in a way that I've never seen before. So that was just, I listened to my fan base and I listened to the internet and they said it was hot. So I recorded that one. But my first true sample was My Type. And it was just missing something that on my project. And I was like, let me just go back into the archives of, you know, people who I love. And shout out to Petey Pablo because he's been nothing but supportive and great with that. So I feel like that was my first true sample.
And you grew up in the Bay Area, and the Bay Area sound is something you really feel strongly about incorporating into your music. For an East Coaster like me, would you describe the Bay Area sound? What are some hallmarks of it?
It's a whole bunch of, when I say pimp talk, I'm not talking about like disrespectful. I'm talking about the flyness in it. Like everything is enunciated a certain way. It's just pronounced a certain way. And we can say something regular, but just how we say it is so fly. Like, Rich man with eight figures, that's my type. It's so simple, but the way I say it, it's just the charisma that goes behind it.
I think you said that one of your favorite tracks on the new album is called Prayed Up. Why is that song so special to you?
It reminds me of just Icy Girl. It reminds me of just the importance of being motivated no matter what your circumstances. And although I've attained some level of success, I do find moments where I am discouraged, where I am second-guessing myself, so it just reminds me of how far I come, and it just speaks to the girl who was in college hustling, trying to just make ends meet in LA. And I feel like it's always important to go to those roots because I feel like you could, I don't ever want to get comfortable, and I always want to have that hunger, you know, just so that I keep getting better in what I do.
And you do so much. Talk to me about the album title. I know that Pretty Bitch actually is an acronym, right?
Yeah. So pretty for me, people have always tried to make that a hindrance for me, like quote unquote pretty privilege, quote unquote she's pretty, so she comes from this, she acts like that, when in reality I'm not. And if you've met me in person, anyone can attest to that. So I wanted to give pretty a good meaning, because I didn't have privilege growing up. I worked for everything that I've accomplished and everything that I gained. So for me, pretty is attitude, pretty is work ethic, pretty is what makes anyone unique given their culture, skin, shape, size. And I feel like my fans all look so different, but I make them feel pretty and I make them feel confident. So pretty is energy, is how you treat other people. It's being a good person and being a hustler and just being confident in your own skin. And bitch, like, I say bitch a lot in my music. And I know my mom and my grandma be like mad sometimes. But so when I'm saying bitch, I just want to make sure that people understand. When I'm saying bitch, it means boss, it means independent, it means tough, it means creative, and I'm from the Bay, so the H means hyphy. So all those things, all those moods, all those adjectives can be found throughout the project.
Message of positivity. What's the latest for a release date? I know COVID's shuffled everybody around, but what's the latest?
It's shuffling, and it's continuing to shuffle, and because you guys are such a big and respected platform, I wouldn't even want to play y'all like that, but definitely sometime in the fall.
Oh, nice. Have you been writing a lot during lockdown? Have you been feeling productive musically?
Definitely. I feel like, if anything, I'm grateful because I was on a flight every day. And that takes a lot on your body. So it's like, for me, this is my time to just unwind and get back to my creative roots. I've been doing all my treatments for my videos. So I'm excited for this new body of work.
Walk me through how you put a verse together, because I read you put it together almost like a college essay. You like outline it out, right?
Yeah, because I went back and I listened to my two EPs and I was like, damn, this was some great music. But going back to a year or 2 years later when I had released them, I was always like, damn, I wish I would have talked about this. Damn, this song is missing this. So I feel like when you have a premises, when you have an introduction, when you have the body, the meat, and when you have a conclusion per song, you're able to attack the things that you want on it. So it's like, I was tired of not checking everything off my list, because there's power in the rap, there's power in the bars, and there's power in your words. So it's like, I kept being mad that I kept missing out on certain things I wanted to touch on. So it was a way to keep myself accountable for what I wanted to talk about.
And just clarity and get all messages direct.
Exactly.
And you have a home studio now, right? How's that working out for you in lockdown? Has it changed the way that you've approached music at all?
It's called the Pretty Box.
Yeah.
It's called the Pretty Box. And I feel like, you know, I make pretty bitch music. So it was only right. I was like, what do I call this place? But yeah, it's called the Pretty Box.
Oh, that is amazing. Has lockdown in any way changed you creatively? Like, did you, in any way that you've approached music? I mean, have you been like collaborating over Zoom and stuff like that? Or
I feel like it's made me a creative genius once again. I was the only child for about, I come from a big family, but I was an only child for about 10, 11 years. So I operate well in solitude. It's exciting for me. I have fun by myself. You know, having to be a little kid and having to be creative and entertain yourself, like that's something that I did do. So it's like, for me, I'm enjoying it.
Oh, that's good to hear. I mean, it's crazy to me to think that your life could have taken such a different path. I mean, you went to USC studying communications and you nearly didn't get into music, right?
No, I always did. But for me, like, I'm from the Bay Area, but I went to high school in Sacramento. Sacramento back then was probably a C market city. So there wasn't a lot of opportunities. So it was like, I had no one looking at me and I'm just like, do I stay in Sacramento or do I get out of here? And I was like, I got to get out of here. I'm trying to be out in the world. So I decided to pursue college, and then I was at San Diego State and I wanted to drop out, but I was like, I'm going to stay in college if I get to go to my dream school. So I applied to USC. I got in. My homegirl, who was an English major, oh my gosh, God bless her soul. Her name was Kaya, and she was the bomb. I wrote out all my essays and she proofread them for me. So it was teamwork. My friends supported me and helped me get into USC. So shout out to her.
Incredible. I mean, it's funny now thinking that you being in Sacramento, but social media has played such an incredible role in your career and so many other people's career. I think there was a quote you said, it was an amazing quote. You said, social media is the new streets. How do you use social media these days as a tool for you?
Social media is definitely the new streets. Like, the hashtag is you passing out your mixtape, someone clicking freestyles, rap. Like, that's how they're getting to your music. You tagging people, you DMing people, you sending your music out there. It's made it a lot easier, but it's also a double-edged sword because there are no more gatekeepers. Like, someone can literally go viral overnight, and then they're with the fan base, with the engagement, they can be deemed as a star. So it's like, yes, it's made it super accessible, but now it's really getting down to how do you separate yourself from the pack, because now anyone can do it, basically.
Who were some of your early musical heroes when you're first starting out that made you want to make music?
You know what? And this is why I make music. Like, I think it's great when you're able to find an old playlist, find an old burnt CD, and you listen to these songs that take you back down memory lane. And I remember Currency and Wiz had Taylor Gang. Young Money had Nicki, Lil Wayne, and Drake. Who else was out? But I think those were like the big people who we listened to at school. And it was so cool. Like, skateboarding, rapping, like, that was the culture of our high school. So just seeing young people go out there and get it. Even Tyga, like, Tyga was a part of Young Money as well. And it's just like, wow, like, these people really been in the game for a long time, and it makes me respect them even more.
It's funny, during the pandemic, I find myself listening to stuff that I used to listen to back in high school. I haven't listened to for years. Is that the way for you too?
I literally listened to Car Service last night by Currency and Wiz Khalifa. And it, like, cleared a runway, baby. I get money from Sunday to Sunday, lady. Like, it just brought back so much, like, memories. And it was like, wow, like, it feels great to now be in company of people who I grew up listening to. Like, all super talented, all, you know, was just young, having fun and getting it. So I just always want to keep that with me. Like, yes, it gets stressful, and yes, it is a lot of hard work, but something that I loved about Young Money and the Taylor Gang and all the other artists who I grew up listening to is you were able to see that they were having fun. So it's like, I never want to lose that.
I read your interview with Lil' Kim for Interview Magazine. What was that like? That was so cool.
Lil' Kim is just, she's so sweet. She's so humble. And
she loved you.
Yeah, it was a moment for me because, yes, I grew up listening to who I did in high school, but my mom loved Lil' Kim growing up. So it was like, I grew up just, I was born into the Lil' Kimity, if I don't know. But it's like, I like, my mom loved it, so off top, I loved it too. And she's just so bossy, so independent, and she's a true trendsetter. So the fact that I was able to get on the phone with her was just everything.
What are some messages that you would want to pass along to your fans, the people that are just getting started right now?
Everyone has a different journey. I'm a student, so I would read a whole bunch of biographies and how people got made it. And you really can't compare your journey to the next person because everybody breaks in a different way. Whether you're a photographer, whether you're an artist, whether you're a journalist, when you're in the creative field, everybody has their own journey to success. So don't compare it. And if you feel like it's truly a part of your destiny, just stay with it because it'll happen because hard work does pay off.
Yeah, I mean, especially the industry just changes so fast. I mean, when I was in high school, social media didn't even exist, and that wasn't even that long ago. It's crazy. So being adaptable, too, has got to be crucial, I imagine.
No, adapting is truly important. It's important to study the greats, but it's important to adapt to what's running the environment. And a lot of things are changing in real time. So I try to, you know, do my best, work hard, and just adapt.
The last few months have been tough on all of us for so many reasons. How have you been staying grounded and feeling good?
My family. I love them so much. Like, I can just go on an island with them and just live there for the rest of my life. They're so much fun. And I actually started this TV series, this YouTube series that in hopes and actually are in talks of being actually picked up by a TV network. So whoever's listening, I'd strongly recommend you going to see the IC Live on the YouTube because it's doing really well and you're able to see me with my family. And that's something that I've actually started in quarantine and it's doing really well.
How do you have time to do all this? It's incredible, all the things that you've done. You launched your fashion line with the Pretty Little Thing collection, donating all the profits to Black Lives Matter. I think you raised $150,000. When do you have time to do all this? I'm still so blown away by that.
You know that figure of the woman with all the hands coming out of her?
Yes.
That's what I feel like every day. You know, in this business, social media, one thing is everything just moves quickly. So you have to be on point. So, you know, I need 4 shots of espresso. And I'm ready to go.
I mean, what do you do to unwind? What's your favorite thing when you're finally done for the day? Do you walks you go on, shows you binge, games you play? What's your favorite thing to
do
just
to
relax?
I'm going to show you. I've actually started to paint.
No way. Oh, my God.
Yeah, actually.
Wow.
I love to paint. It's very therapeutic to me.
Really? Oh, that's so cool. What was that? Was that oil or acrylic?
It's acrylic. Oil is a little hard, so I'm doing baby steps, but I went to Blix actually on Sunday because my homegirl, I kept using all her supplies. So I was like, let me just go and get my own. So, you know, just a little icy Vinci going on. Sweetie Da Vinci.
How long have you been doing that? That looks beautiful.
Well, I took art in college, but it was difficult because we used pens, we used charcoal. I didn't get to use paint. And I was under the impression that we were going to paint, but we didn't paint. So I've always wanted to try painting and it's just so soothing. I love it.
I'm going to say, you are also an amazing cook. I've been watching some of the seafood pasta, chicken adobo. Like, it's so much more legit than anything I can ever make.
Thank you. I love seafood. And for me, I've always loved cooking. But the reason why I started doing seafood because all the restaurants were closed down. So I was like, I can't eat my favorite food. So I went right down to Whole Foods. Went to the little fresh market section and I was like, I'm gonna just create my own squid, octopus, shrimp, salmon, whatever I want. And that's where I kind of like developed my skill for, you know, cooking seafood because I couldn't eat out no more.
Oh my gosh. What's your absolute favorite thing to make? Like if you had to choose.
Oh my gosh. I love to create octopus or seafood pasta with homemade Alfredo. My Alfredo is a little on the lemon zesty part because I like to put some lemon juice in there. But I love scallops, squid, octopus, shrimp. I like everything. So it's like my favorite thing to make.
Oh my God. Is that like a family recipe or just something you invented?
And no, it's my recipe. I just put all my favorite seafoods into one pasta.
Oh my gosh, that sounds incredible. I was say, can you like FedEx me some of that? It always looks so good on your social media.
You know, I'm gonna freeze it and I'm gonna send it over to you because you know, seafood not good when it get warm, so.
Oh yeah. No, I'm from Boston, so we do seafood, but not like that.
Oh, you guys have the best clam chowder.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do.
Oh my gosh. When I did a radio promo out there, I ate clam chowder every day.
Oh my God, that was like my staple as a kid. Oh, it's way better than Manhattan clam chowder, which is like red. Ooh. It's like a totally different thing. No.
Mm-mm. Now I got to get some today. Look what you just did to me.
Sorry. Oh my gosh. Well, what is next for you? I mean, I feel like there's 12 things always happen for you every day at once. What are you most excited about on the horizon?
I think I'm most excited. I'm excited for festival season because I've been trying to figure out, I love when people mosh pit, but I was like, mosh pitting reminds me of something, and it reminds me of the Bay Area, because if you go to the Bay and when some Mac Dre, some Mr. Fab, some music that makes you just want to turn up and get hyphy, it's like a version of mosh pitting. So I'm excited for festival season because I'm going to turn mosh pitting into my own thing. And I actually have a song called Pretty Girl Mosh Pit. So I'm really excited about that. Like, I like to have a good time. And, you know, for a while, it took me a long time to get into my groove. Like, how do I bring my culture and my ways to music? So it'll show in Pretty Bitch Music. It'll show up my shows. Like, who don't want to see some pretty girls turn up, get active, get hyphy, and start mosh? I've never seen that before. So I'm about to start a whole bunch of pretty girl mosh pits.
Yes.
And I'm gonna jump out there too. I'm so excited.
Oh, we cannot wait. My final question, I always love to ask people this because everybody says something different. It's so interesting. If you could snap your fingers and have the pandemic be over, be everything totally back to normal, what's the first thing you would do? The very first thing.
Wait. So who have you asked this question to? I'm curious.
Oh my gosh. Let's see. Ryan Tedder, Jason Mraz. Oh my God. Ash. Oh, so many people.
What was your favorite answer?
A lot of them had to do with food, I have to say. A lot of them like restaurants to go to.
See, I had to alleviate my problems. I'm a foodie. I couldn't wait. So that's why I started cooking. But I think just connecting with my fans, like, I have so much great content for there to be so many pop-ups, shows around. I can't wait to perform and to just meet my fans again because, I don't know, like, what's special about my fan base is I feel like I've known them forever. It's so weird. Like, my meet and greets last hours because I'll talk to everybody and we have full-blown conversations, so it's always just so much fun to meet my fans. I can't wait to go on tour. I can't wait to open up for a huge act. And I can't wait to grow and to eventually do my own tour. So that's something that I'm looking forward to.
Oh, we can't wait. Sweetie, thank you so much for your time today. It's been such a pleasure.
Thank you. I hope I didn't scare you with my face mask.
Not at all.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Inside the Studio Home Edition, a production of iHeartRadio. For more episodes of Inside the Studio and other shows from iHeartRadio, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.